The reading today for our scripture will be found in the Pew Bible on page 1617. It's Luke 12, 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What should I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, that this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God."
What does it mean to have faith? You know, what does it mean to be a person of faith? Well, John's answer is to have faith is to believe in the reality of God, is to believe that God really exists. Like Jesus says in chapter 14 in John's Gospel, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Faith for God is this sense that God is real. That's what it means to have faith. What does it mean to have faith? And for Paul, the answer is maybe a little bit more complicated. It's to believe in the reality of grace, to believe in the free gift of justification that we receive from God through Christ. That's what it means to have faith for Paul. What does it mean to have faith for Luke? In Luke 12, I would say that one way of thinking about faith is that to have faith is to be rich towards God, is to be generous towards God. Now, here's what I like about all of these answers. For John's answer, this sense of believing in God, believing in the truth of God, believing in the reality of God, I love that because of the firm foundation it gives us. There's almost this sense in John that we are being given a place to stand in this world that is rock solid, a place where we can stay and we can abide. In fact, John's gospel uses that language of abiding in Christ, abiding in God, frequently throughout the entire gospel. And I love that. I love that idea that there is something really real in this world, named God, named Christ, that we can stand upon. What I like about this answer for Paul is, I describe it as sort of a Sally Field moment. Remember in the Oscars when she was like, you know, "You like me, you really like me." Well, in Paul's gospel, his way of understanding belief, what we learn through faith is that God likes us. He really likes us. He's really forgiven us. He really has mercy on us. We don't need to kill ourselves trying to measure up for God, because God has already made a decision for us in Christ. That is just, for me, that is just a mind-blowing and wonderful thing, that faith that Paul describes. In today's gospel, I think we're also being given this incredible gift, a gift of faith, and that is, it's almost as if what Jesus is saying in Luke 12 is that he's giving us a foothold, if you will, a way of approaching life's trials and tribulations with peace in our hearts. You know, let me explain that a little bit. I've thought a lot this last week about what it is that makes trials so difficult. And I think part of it is we're not always sure how to feel about them or what to do about them. We don't know how to approach them. I think for some of us, we really struggle even when we're in a time of really extreme trial or really extreme tribulation, we really struggle to allow ourselves to be angry, to be outraged, to be upset. I remember a congregant that I had, this is many years ago, who had lost not just one, but two children. And when the second child died, she said to me, you know, when our first child died, when that happened, you know, I still felt this peace in my heart, you know, towards God. And, you know, my husband and I, we would participate in these sort of mourners groups with other parents, and we would be leading these groups. And I felt really solid in my relationship with God, even though I'd had this terrible loss. But she said to me, when my second child, when he died, I just remember her, so clearly her saying this, I just feel so angry. I just can't believe how angry I am. You know, and as we talked, I realized that part of what this woman needed really is she needed to be given the permission to have those feelings of anger, that maybe she had even had them when the first child had died. You know, but somehow, maybe because of her sort of Christian upbringing and really taking seriously Paul's idea of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, you know that list. Somehow she wasn't able to give herself that permission. And so we talked about the importance of reading the Psalms as a way of giving ourselves permission before God and in our relationship to God, with God, to feel as honestly whatever it is that we need to feel, that we are feeling, as possible. So what can make times of trial difficult? Sometimes we don't know how to feel about them. Some of us really struggle with, is it okay to be angry and upset? Others of us, on the other hand, we have the outrage thing totally down. Is that not true? We don't need our pastor to say to us, maybe you should read, you know, the Psalms and, you know, get in touch with your inner anger, you know. No, we're already there. What we're looking for is a way to find our way in the midst of these trials, in the midst of these tribulations, back to a sense of peace. You know, that's what we need. It's my sense that Luke 12 can really help us with that, because it reminds us that faith is a two-way street. On the one hand, there is the generosity that Robin was talking about. There's this generosity that God has towards us, where he's constantly giving us more than we need, you know, and sometimes we struggle with that. But at the same time, our faith also demands of us that we give that same generosity back to God, that we give that same sense of compassion back to God, that we are rich toward God, the language of today's scripture. And what I mean by that is that we allow God, you know, to take his time in working through our trials, that we understand, as God says at the end of the book of Job, God is just like, I have a lot of people to take care of, Job, and not just human beings, like the entire universe. You know, sometimes what we need to do is we need to cultivate that generosity towards God so that we can be patient and be at peace with whatever it is that we're going through. Because God is with us, but God is doing things at God's own time. And remembering that can be such a powerful thing when we find ourselves in that time of trial and we just are longing to be able to experience those trials with still just a slice, at least a slice of peace in our hearts. Now, I recognize that this sermon has perhaps gone in a different direction from expected. I mean, we have a rich man, we've got him storing up his crops, you know. You're probably like, where's the money? When's she going to talk about the money, you know? And I want to totally acknowledge that I was very happy that Robin did what she did with the children's sermon, because as you can tell, I have not talked about those issues in this sermon, and it's really important to bring them up, you know. Jesus is trying to tell us some really profound things here about our relationship to our goods, our grains, our crops, our modern-day equivalents of those. But I have to say that this phrase, you know, be rich toward God, it just spoke to me this last week. It really did. And so I want to leave you with some of the questions it inspired in me, and hopefully, in the hope that these questions will also be inspiring for you. The first question is, what is faith to you? You know, what is it to me? You know, is it a foundation? Is it a sense of relief? Is it a two-way street? And if it's not a two-way street, you know, how might our life change or be better if we were to think about it, conceptualize it, live it from that point of view? That's sort of the first set of questions that occurred to me about this passage. The second set has to do with how we typically struggle with life's worries and trials, and how the Bible might help us to do that a little bit better. You know, some of us really do need to give ourselves permission to be angry. You know, I was thinking, I mean, you know, we were at this wonderful fellowship time, my husband and myself, yesterday afternoon, and then we got back and we found out about the shootings. And then this morning we woke up and we found out about what happened in Dayton as well. I think there are times in the Christian journey when outrage is called for, you know, when we shouldn't just be about peace. And we really need to sort of get in touch with that anger that is pointing us in a direction that says something is wrong, something needs to happen here. And for my, I think for the two of us, that was the feeling that we had watching those news reports. At the same time, like I said, it may be that many of us here also need to find a way to be at peace when we're being tempted and tried and there's tribulations in our life and we're really going through struggles, that we need to use the Bible to allow it to help us to frame that experience in a new way so that we can feel at home in it, if that's possible. The third question is, and this is a more of a personal question, and that is, I would ask everybody to consider this next week, you know, is there a place in our lives right now that might benefit from us being more rich or generous towards God? You know, is there a place right now where maybe it hasn't occurred to us, but maybe God is asking us, calling us to be generous towards Him, you know, to be compassionate for Him? There's this wonderful poem by Dietrich Bonhoeffer where he talks about what it means to be a Christian. And he says that Christians stand with God in God's hour of need. You know, God stands with us in our hour of need. But, you know, Christians also stand with God in God's hour of need. He's talking about the cross, but I think this applies to all these moments in our lives where it can really soften our hearts to realize and to understand that God needs his relationship with us to be that two-way street. You know, he needs us to be generous towards him. Amen.